All right, everybody can have a seat. I was looking around this week and praying about the message, and I started looking through Scripture, started reading things, and this section of Scripture we're going to look at popped up. It seemed to be where I was supposed to be at, but I wasn't quite sure. I got to looking at the news this week, and all these so-called experts I started looking at was telling a better way to live, just a whole better way to live, didn't have to live like we had been. And I thought, okay, I'm getting it. And this morning, I saw something about a religious organization that has a healing center. Not a hospital, but what I think, for a small donation, you can come and get your hand, have somebody lay hands on you. And I'm thinking God did not use a credit, Jesus did not use a credit card system when he was here healing. There are a whole lot of people out there with ideas that run different than God. This section of Scripture is in Matthew 16, verses 1 through 12. The Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. Now, some people need signs. These are actual true warning signs that are on things. There's a label on the snow sled that says, beware, sled may develop high speed under certain snow conditions. There's a fishing lure with a sign that says, don't swallow. There is a Dremel tool out there that says, this product not intended for use as a dental drill. There's a box of, there's a container of deodorant that says, do not spray in eyes. There is a cartridge for a laser printer that says, do not eat toner. And there is a cardboard, like the little windshield dash thingies to keep the sun from cracking your dash, says, remove before driving. So some people need a sign. Some people, and you wonder, how did that happen? Because there is somebody out there that sued over this. And the groups that came up to Jesus, they were an odd couple. The Pharisees were basically priestly class. And they had a very tight opinion about Scripture. They didn't really go back to the Scripture. They laid a lot more on their opinion than what it actually said. And the Sadducees, they were hoity-toities. They were rich folks. And they rejected the Pharisees. They didn't believe in angels, spirits, afterlife, or the resurrection. They only thought the first five books of the Bible applied. So they fought like cats and dogs. But one thing they had in common was they were threatened by Jesus. So they were trying to get rid of him. And Jesus told them, though, just look at the weather. You know, when it's a red sky, evening's coming. And you can tell by the way the sky looks when it's going to be storming. But you don't have a sign of the times. You cannot tell this. These people had seen the miracles of Christ. They had seen healing. They had seen the multiplication of the food, the raising of the dead. But they wanted something more. They wanted a sign. Maybe something like Elijah had when he had the wet wood and the fire was called down and the altar was lit up. They came in acting real sincere, but they were really hypocrites. They were not looking like some people who truly, truly come to God. And they are just so desperate and they just want a sign to know he's out there. I'm not talking about those folks. Because they're wanting proof that he's out there, that he's listening. And sometimes in our lives, it's so hard to think that anyone's actually listening. I'm not talking about those folks, but the folks that want to disprove. The folks that want to disprove the existence of God. The folks that want to disprove the existence of Christ. This is where they fall into. And Jesus told them, called them an evil and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. And the sign's not going to be given except for the sign of Jonah. and he left them and went away. For a long time, I didn't really understand what the sign of Jonah was. But it was talking about Jesus' resurrection. Jonah was in the fish, if you think about it, for 3 days. Darkness. Jesus would be in the tomb for 3 days and would come from the dead. When he did that, he triumphed over darkness and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt he's the Messiah. The sign of Jonah is a sign that Jonah brings. It's not some kind of sign he brings, but Jonah himself. Like when Jonah showed up at Nineveh after spending 3 days in Jaws, there was no doubt he was from God. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were used to being the center of attention. They went for hundreds of years as being the central authority in Israel. If you wanted interpretation of the Bible, if you wanted answers, you went to them. Now, here is this man that said, we don't need that. Pray. Pray to find your answers. They wanted to be the people that everybody else came to. And that can be a dangerous thing. A spiritual thrill seeker. Those that become used by the Holy Spirit, and then they forget the Holy Spirit part of it. And that can be very dangerous, and it can happen to anyone. That when God starts using people and then it's forgotten, God, us, and it starts being us, God, that can be a bad thing. And that's what's happening with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were threatened by this man that said, no, it's God. And in God, our lives are fulfilled, our lives, if we trust him. And just like the people that had with the warning signs, these guys were doing it wrong. There's still people that won't be the center of it all, whether it's at work, at school, at church. And there's nothing wrong with spiritual highs. Being used by God and the Holy Spirit, it's an amazing, amazing thing. It is just an amazing thing. And God gave us emotions. And these emotions, he uses those to bless us. But we get to the point where we're chasing that thrill rather than chasing Jesus, it can get us in trouble. It can lead to sin. When you're facing troubles, don't look to a person to fill your needs. And I mean that, me included. Because if you come to me with a problem, I'm going to pray about it. I might can offer you advice from here. But the thing to remember, this is inspired by God. Answers I have for you, if I have an answer for you, it will be from prayer or from this. So it comes from God. And if you start thinking that it don't come from God and it comes from you, that's just not a good thing. People can't meet your needs. Lay a spiritual fad can't meet your needs, whether it's the secret or whoever. You can't have your needs met by the latest fad. The big mega pastors at these mega churches, if they are not telling you what's out of that book, they can't meet your needs. No matter how cool a smoke machine they have, and those are really cool, but I don't think we could really get one, could we, Suzanne? No smoke machine. And Jesus, he meets your needs. Seeking the thrills get you in trouble. Seeking Jesus won't. Jesus is the spiritual high we all need. Spiritual needs, physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs. Financial needs was something. It really took me a long time, and I think I sourced mine back to my pride. That I didn't feel like I thought there's so many people suffering with physical needs and sickness for me to pray about my financial needs. But God wants us to come to him with those, the whole package. And if we're suffering financial problems by no fault of our own, God wants to help us. Just the same way that a farmer would pray for a good harvest, or a hunter would pray for a good hunt to feed his family. Our way that we make a living now is different. It's through working, and our needs are different to help us be able to provide. And God understands that. You look at Jesus, and you'll find what you need. It may not be what you're looking for, but it might be what it will be what you need. And the Pharisees left after that. And the disciples, they were at the Sea of Galilee. And the western side of it was all Jewish. That's where they were at. The eastern side, and it was heavily populated. The eastern side of it wasn't as populated as the western side. Anybody know Lake Greenwood? You know, on the Greenwood side of it, how it's all built up, and they got the big old mansions and all that, and you go 15 feet, you see another house, and you get over to the Lauren side, now imagine it's built up more, but it wasn't nearly as built up. Sea of Galilee, Lake Greenwood, very similar. And they sailed over, and they realized they didn't bring any bread with them. And the disciples, there's a certain types of bread the Jewish folks ate. And on the eastern side, there was a mix of Jewish people and Gentiles or non-Jewish people. So they really didn't know much of anybody over there, much less if there was a Jewish baker. And been there before. I've traveled a lot for work, and you end up going to a small town. There ain't no chain restaurant there. And you see Pop's Diner. And it's another thing to pray about. I've been on both ends of that one. So they just were scratching their head. And Jesus either saw this as an opportunity or he planned it. Personally, the Bible doesn't say, but I think he planned it. That he mapped everything out with these disciples in such a way that I don't think anything was just happened. It was a plan. It was a step. And he sees that teachable moment. And he wants to talk to them about what they had done with the Pharisees and what they had seen. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And by leaven, they were talking about yeast, what makes the bread rise. And he was trying to warn them about false teaching. And what is false teaching? Teaching that'll turn you from the truth is false, no matter how bad the truth is. Teaching that'll encourage you to take the easy way out. We've all done it from time to time. I have. How many times has it come back and bit you? Has me. Teaching that'll turn our hearts from Jesus. There's a lot of false teaching out there today. The Bible warns us about teaching that'll appeal to our sinful nature. A time has come and we are here where people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. And they're going to follow their own desires, and they're going to look for teachers to tell them that's all right. It's okay. You cheat that next guy, it's all right. Play how to work, it's okay. Marriage vows, they're old. They're outdated. How many people have actually heard this on network television over the last couple of years? Teachings that will say right is wrong and wrong is right. Teachings that clearly contradict what the Bible says. Best way to protect ourselves from false teaching is, you hear me say it every week, and it doesn't change. Part of the path of a Christian goes through here. That you have, whether it's on an app, whether it's in a comic book, whether it is on a video, ever how you can digest that word of God, get it in there. Because sometimes there are people, even pastors, that they kind of discount the benefits of looking in the Bible. And the Bible tells us what's right. It tells us when we're wrong. And it shows what to do and not to do by story and by deed. The disciples, they didn't quite get what Jesus was saying. He said that because we didn't bring any bread. And in this part of the world, we would say bless their hearts, because they were missing it at this point. And as usual, they just didn't grasp what Jesus was trying to say. And they thought he was talking about bread and missed the fact that he was talking about the false teachings. And Jesus had just used another parable in an earlier part of Matthew about yeast. In Matthew 13:33, he said, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 3 measures of flour. And that's 60 quarts, give or take, in modern measurement, until it was all leavened. He was talking about his earthly ministry being like yeast. Starts off in a little amount, and then over time it would grow, infecting the entire dough. And you think about his church. Started off 120 members, increased to 3,000 in one day. And it's in almost every nation on earth, even where Bibles are outlawed. There are people who love God enough to risk death, prison. The nature of yeast is to grow and change wherever it contacts. And when we accept Christ, his grace grows in our hearts and it changes us from the inside out. And it can create changes in that world around us, that small little circle. And they missed that. And they were suffering from spiritual insensitivity. I think we all have been there. Discipleship need to be very sensitive to his teachings. Better spiritual eyes and ears for understanding. They witnessed miracles. They didn't read about them. They saw them. They were given power by Christ himself to heal and drive out demons, but they didn't see. They're acting like the crowds, not like disciples. They're acting like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And there are people in churches right now all over the country. They've been there every Sunday for years and decades. They might be up here in the pulpit. They might be in the choir. They might be on committees. But they have no idea what it's like to be a follower of Christ. They got the t-shirt. They got the fish bumper sticker. But they don't have the heart. They're distracted by the world. And Jesus talked to them. You men of little faith, why do you discuss yourselves amongst yourselves, you have no bread? And he talked about how he created and multiplied all these thousands of loaves from basically nothing. And he associates their lack of understanding with the lack of faith. Sometimes understanding and faith go hand in hand. And this is where, as we believers, we can do better, encouraging each other in prayer and the Word. And non-believers who are struggling, encourage them to be in prayer and in the Word. Honest prayer and getting into God's Word. It's like putting in spiritual hearing aids. I delivered a message on that earlier. They can help build faith. And with a stronger faith, you understand more what God's trying to tell us. And a stronger faith and understanding, you're not going to waver quite as much. Jesus was disappointed that they didn't grasp what he was trying to say. And second, he was already, like, he had just done that. It hadn't been that long since he, like, broke 5 loaves and fed 5,000 people. He responded in a real classy way. I think I probably would respond to something like, you knuckleheads. Y'all aren't paying attention at all. In the disciples' defense, though, how many of us have been there? I have had times where I have gotten so focused on one thing. That one thing in my life that if it didn't work out, oh my God, my life was just awful. It was just terrible. Then I'd go home to my house that I could flip the light switch on. Open up that refrigerator and there was food in it. And even if it wasn't what we were wanting, we had money in our pocket, we could go out and grab something to eat. I was complaining about the 1% with the 99% and ignoring the 99% that God had given to me and my family. So I've been like the disciples. I think maybe most of us have, if we're honest with each other, that we get so focused on the little thing that we forget what all God has done for us. And Jesus was telling them, how do you not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? and remind them, he then repeats his warning. And I found when Jesus repeats stuff, you better listen. He don't do it a whole lot in the Gospels. Kind of like a parent. First time they say something, you might not pay attention. But I guarantee you, when Ezra and Jensi said something the second time, I started paying attention. It really got my focus. And Jesus was trying to tell them because he knew they were susceptible to it. I think in a way like we all are. The easy teaching, oh, it is so tempting. It is so, so tempting. And I think they're starting to understand what a threat these people are to Jesus and to his ministry. Then they understood he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he's speaking, he's saying that the evil false teaching of these people, and it spreads quickly. Bad yeast can spread very quickly. He was telling them to stay away from them and reject their false teachings. And there are many philosophies about the right way to live right now. There are even pastors and denominations who are out there trying to give their own version of what God really meant. If you don't think so, do some research on the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're one of the top two or three growing, fastest growing denominations in the country. They have, I think it's 5,000 people that do nothing but make those brochures that you find on your doors. And their Bible has been, came into existence in the 50s, 60s. It's been updated two or three times, and each time they do, they take away the older copies of it so that you don't have anything to compare it to. Some of the self-help philosophies sound really easy. It's okay. Just go into your nature. Only problem with that, we're born with a sin nature. Every last one of us, me too. Left without Christ, our sin nature rules. And how many of us before we came to Christ, how well did that work out? It did not work out well with me at all. When you take God out of the picture and Jesus out of the picture, it does not work. Some people and some of the health and wealth pastors, it's okay. You pray for $1 million, you're going to get it, and let's be happy and it's all easy. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. Life of a believer is not easy. It's not. When Jesus Christ says, take up your cross and follow me, he's not talking about the little cross around your neck. It is a burden in some ways. But it is worth it for everlasting salvation and to be with our God forever and to see those who have gone before us. He wants the disciples to understand that just because teaching sounds spiritual doesn't mean it's correct. The disciples were suffering from spiritual blindness. And have you ever had a situation like where you come out, there's a heavy frost, can't see a thing through your windshield, or there's big glare. Would you think about driving in that? But how many people go on if they're spiritually blind? I've done it before. Have no clear understanding of what I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. Now, we'll fix the blindness in the windshield. Sunglasses, little scrape stuff. When we become spiritually blind, we no longer hear the Lord's voice. We no longer see his truth. And we're no longer sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are people in this world, including some heifers on The View, that made fun of our vice president when he claimed that he heard the Lord's voice. I have had a voice in my life that I could not account for. because it was me in the room and I heard something else. I guess I'm a nut too if Vice President Pence is. When you're spiritually blind, you don't hear. Or even if it's not a voice, sometimes there are things laid on your heart, a urge, a drive that you just cannot ignore. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're supposed to. It's supposed to be a living thing inside of us. And when we become spiritually blind and deaf, we can't feel that. And it's like missing a sense. It's like missing one of your five senses. And there are people out there, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're not celebrities. Some of them are. But a lot of them aren't. There are people that are being manipulated and used by the forces of evil, that they want to blind and dull the senses of non-believers, and they want to discourage and distract believers. You've heard me say it before. There is a spiritual war going on in this world. It is spiritual. These people that are out here in this world, and they can't see Christ. They can't see the difference that he's made in so many lives. And they'd rather do their own thing than follow Jesus. They'd rather listen to their own voice than the word of the living God. They want us to be the same way. Because you may have people in your life that they look at you and you make them uncomfortable because you expose them to a mirror to see what they are lacking in their lives, to see, make them see what they are doing. And they want you to be like them so that we're all right. Nobody's doing anything different. Only cure for spiritual blindness is coming to Jesus. Same way that these disciples started understanding that he was taught what he was talking about. Jesus has come to open the eyes of the spiritually and physically blind. He has come so that we can see his truth. He has come to this world so that we can receive his healing. And he's come to save us from ourselves. Without Jesus offering his salvation, without Jesus dying on the cross for us, every last one of us in here would probably go to hell. I would. There ain't no way I'd get to heaven on my own. I had to give it over and let Christ lead me. And there are still times I want to pull that old man off that cross. He tries every day to get off that cross and run around and wreck my life. And I think most of us, if we're honest, it's a daily struggle with all of us. Jesus has come to save us from ourselves and this bad yeast out here. And as we come to a close and we begin to go and begin to have prayer, I want you to think about, what's the yeast in my life? What am I listening to? Am I listening to a Pharisee or Sadducee, a modern day version? Are they in my life right now? Or have I given my life over to Christ? And if you can't answer the second part, you need to pray and work on it. Because when you're listening to someone else to guide your life besides Christ, and you're not looking in God's word for guidance, what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I'm going to get everybody to stand, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and in song. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, just you see what's in our hearts. Father, you see what's in this world. This world wants to blind us. He wants to tell us there's an easier way. He wants to tell us that we don't need you. Father, we know different. There is no way to you except for Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, if there is anyone here that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, please open up their heart. Help them to accept Jesus and to follow Him, Father, and just to help Him to transform them into the person that He wants them to be. And Father, protect us from false teachings. Father, help us to be able to spiritually hear and spiritually see what You're trying to tell us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the altars are open.